want to say good evening, everyone, and we certainly are glad that you're here tonight. Let me mention to you that Joyce reminded me this morning that I did not take up for the mission team, and I apologize for that. So next Sunday morning, Lord willing, we're going to have a collection at the end of the service to try to defer some of the costs that we had overruns on for this mission team going down to Haiti. So some people are prepared to give this morning. If you can hold till next Sunday, that's fine. If not, you can see Susan, and she'll make sure that that gets put in the North Fairfield Baptist Church directed mission fund. So in lieu of all the water that we have seen over the few days, I'd like to ask us a question. Where are we drinking? Something about water. Water is the most abundant compound on the surface of this planet. About 70% of this planet's surface is covered water. Now remember that percentile because we're going to come back and talk about it a little bit later. It exists in liquid form. Obviously, we're quite familiar with that. Solid and gaseous forms as well. And as I thought about water, I thought about some of the experience that I've had where water was a commodity that wasn't so plentiful. First year that I went to Haiti, we were fortunate to have a lot of water there. There was a natural spring that New Missions had dug there, and the Lord had blessed them with that. They went and dug several times before they hit this natural spring. It was just an unbelievable, effervescent spring in the middle of a cesspool of a place, quite frankly. And the water did not need to be filtered, didn't need any treatment whatsoever. Drink it right out of the spigot. No problem. It's just great, clean, artesian water. This last time that I was in Haiti, we went to a different area. The water was not so pristine. It was well water, but the ground had been compromised, and the water needed to be treated. Interestingly enough, they had filters there, and the filters were nothing more than just a clay pot that had sawdust and silver in there mixed into the clay, and it was porous. And as the water would filter through these clay pots, through the silver and the sawdust, it would take out all the nasties out of it. And so water that was essentially just real cloudy, nasty-looking, it would come out the other side of this filtration system, safe to drink. In fact, we drank that water. I drank at least 3 gallons of it every day, it seemed like. It was very hot down there, but we had that. You know, here in Hamilton, we're recognized as having like the best water in Ohio. Did you know that?
The world,
yeah. And it is good water. It is very good water. We drink it a lot at our house. I drink it here at the church. I have a bottle up there. I heard at Caesars Creek Lake just this week, last week, there was a report that you can't swim in Caesars Creek Lake if you're young or you're old or you're sick because there's an E. coli infection going on in Caesars Creek Lake. And we have several local creeks. Jokingly enough, Brenda and I, we live on the headwaters of Mill Creek. But if you go down to the city of Cincinnati, a few miles down the Mill Creek, you don't want to be on the Mill Creek. It's pretty nasty, to be in fact. Water does mean a lot, and it's interesting because biblically, James used water to describe our life. He says our life is a vapor that appeareth for a while and vanish. Well, the thing about a vapor, it is here, but it changes form till you can't see it. So tonight, I want us to look at the 23rd Psalm and consider just the phrase that he leads me beside the still waters. Let me read the psalm again to us all tonight. It says here, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And may God bless the reading, the hearing, and the preaching of his word. Well, we've been considering sheep and how the shepherd here, the under-shepherd, David, relates to his sheep. And he carries into this psalm a perspective that you and I culturally do not have. And so we want to consider how David viewed the psalm as he penned it down, as the Holy Spirit moved him, and he wrote from his own personal experience how David viewed sheep. Now, here's what we know about sheep, what David understood about sheep. Although sheep thrive in dry, semi-arid countries, they still require water. They're not like a camel where they can drink a lot and then survive for a long time after that. They're not like an African gazelle where they can just survive on water that is provided from the plant matter that they eat. They do need water supplemented in their diet, especially if there's not a lot of dew available in that area. So tonight, I want us to consider, first of all, there is a physical need, but this mirrors a spiritual need. We need to take special notice in what's being said here. The key or the clue to where water can be obtained lies with the shepherd. Remember that. The Lord is the one that leads beside the still waters. He's going to lead us there. It is he who knows the best places to drink. In fact, there very often, he is the one who, with much effort, has provided the watering places for us to go to. And we don't even realize that. And it's to these spots that he leads his flock. So physical. Before thinking of water sources themselves, we do need to understand the role of water that it had in the animal's body. Now remember what I told you about how many percentage of the earth's surface is covered with water? 70. Do you know how much of an animal, a sheep, their body is consisted of? 70. That's exactly right. 70% of a body of a sheep is composed of water, the same percentage that covers the earth. The fluid is used to maintain normal body metabolism. It's a portion of every cell. There's water in it. It contributes to normal life functions. Without it, you're not going to be able to function very well. Water determines vitality. Water determines strength. It determines vigor of the sheep. And it is essential to the health and the general well-being of that sheep. If the supply of the water, of any reason, drops off that animal, his body will begin to fade. The same thing happens to us, by the way, too. This dehydration of the tissue can result in serious damage to the sheep. It can also mean that the animal becomes weak and impoverished, and any animal can go mad with this awareness that it needs water, looking for water and cannot find the water. Thirst indicates the need of the body for a good water supply. So that's the physical side of it. Well, let's talk about the spiritual side of it. Just as the physical body has the capacity and need for water, so the scripture points out the capacity and the need for water for the human soul. Without it, we are going to not fare well. When sheep are thirsty, they become restless and they set out in search for water. If it's not led to good water, good clean supplies of water, they will drink from whatever water that is available. Now think about our lives. If we're not where we ought to be, won't we drink from just any old pool that we come to? There's a lesson in that for all of us. See, sheep will if they don't have the water supply that they're led to in a correct way, then they will just go to any old hole and drink. And what happens? Well, they get these things called liver flukes. You don't want one of those. That's an internal pestis that just eats away at their liver. And it's precisely the same manner Christ, our shepherd, our good shepherd, makes it clear that the thirsty souls of men and women can only be fully satisfied when their spiritual thirst is satisfied from drawing from the one who is the living water. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 6, Christ said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Again, let me ask you where you are drinking from. At the great feast in Jerusalem, he boldly declares, "If any man thirst, let him come after me and drink." To drink gives this spiritual idea. It's a terminology. It means to take in. It means to accept. It means to believe. And that is to say that it implies when a person accepts or assimilates the very life of Christ to the point where he has become a part of them. This is very clearly illustrated in the Bible. It's very clearly illustrated in the story of the woman at the well. I read this to our deacons tonight. I'm going to read it to you as well. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." For the disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you ask, being a Jew, of me a drink of water, Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gifts of God, or the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said, "Sir, you have nothing to draw well, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? And are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst again. But the water I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." That's the difference. When Christ gives us to drink, there's only one thing that will completely satisfy us, and that is what he gives us to drink continually. Now think about the struggle here. The difficulty in all this is that men and women who are thirsty for God are often unsure of where to go, what to be really looking for. The inner spiritual capacity for God, it is in us. There's a divine life that we are a part of. But we often drink from dirty pools to satisfy our souls. What happens to us? We get sick, we get infirmed, we have a lot of problems. I like what St. Augustine said. He said, "Oh God, thou hast made us for thyself, and our souls are restless, searching till they find their rest in thee." Man has always had a long, complex history of failed attempts to worship deity, not the God of heaven. Trying to fill the void in their life, to take water that's impure and to make something of it, but it never satisfies the soul. David understood this when he composed this psalm. Looking from life from the standpoint of the sheep, he wrote, "The good shepherd, my manager, my leader, he is the one who leads me beside the still water." Now, isn't it interesting? As we looked last week, we talked about he makes me to lie down, but here is the idea of leading. God in our life both makes us do things, and there's things that he leads us to do as well. In other words, my Heavenly Father knows what is best for me. Sometimes he has to make us do it. Sometimes we have, through our own volition, the ability to come to the right choices in our life. And when it comes to where we're drinking from, we need to make a decision that we want to get our water source from the right source. In other words, my Heavenly Father knows alone best where the still, where the deep, where the clean, pure waters can be found that will satisfy my soul. His sheep will hear his voice, and he will keep them in a water source that is fit for them. Now, for a sheep, we understand this. Water can come from three sources. Dew on the grass. You ever walk through, even the lawn in the morning, certain times it'll have a lot of dew on it. Deep wells. Anybody ever had any well water out there? Yeah. Well, the water that if you drink from this water fountain here, they got it down in Fairfield and pumped it up to here. Hamilton lucked out and they bought an aquifer down there while the city of Fairfield was asleep. And we're drinking Fairfield water here in the great city of Hamilton. Did you know that? Well, now you know it. deep wells, and springs and streams. I've had water, by the way, from all three of those sources. So the source. Most people are not aware that sheep, they can go for months on end without water, especially if the weather's not too hot, without ever actually drinking water. If there's a heavy dew on the grass each morning as they eat, they take water in that way. The sheep, by habit, will rise up early in the morning. Now listen to this very carefully. It will rise up early in the morning and start to feed while there's a bright moonlight that they can gaze at night. They're early risers. The early hours are when the plants are drenched the most in dew, and sheep can keep enough water in their system simply by doing that. Dew, it's clear, it's pure. In fact, if you're ever in an arid situation, you can take and make a little canopy, and you can get water that way from condensation and be able to drink that water and sustain yourself. Dew is clear, it's clean, it's pure, it's a good source of water. And there's nothing more picturesque than a dew-covered field in the early morning before sunrise. It's just absolutely, it's just diamonds sparking over there. Well, the good shepherd makes sure that his sheep come out and they graze at the right time. So when do we meet these needs? Well, in the Christian life, it is more than just passing significance to observe that those who are often the most sincere, those who are the most confident, those who are the most able to cope with life problems are those, listen carefully, who rise up early every day to feed on God's word. Get up in the morning, read, study, show yourself approved. It is often in the still quiet hours of the morning that we're led beside the still waters. Sometimes in my sleep, I'm just woke, awakened by the Holy Spirit, and a thought will come down from above to me, and I have to go write it down, and I have to go work on it. It's just an amazing thing. He leads us beside the still waters, often so early in the morning. To achieve greatness in this life, it's a requirement to spend quality time with the greatest one of all. Let me say that to you again. To achieve greatness in this life, it is vitally important. It is a requirement that we spend quality time with the greatest one of all. Over and over again, as you look at the biographies of great men, great heroes of the faith that we find in the scriptures, their secret of their success can be directly contributed to quiet, personal time with the Savior. Alone time. No one else around, where you're studying, you're reading, you're taking in from God's word. That's when the Master's voice can often be the strongest. No distractions. He can have our undivided attention. Lord, what is it that you're saying through this scripture to me today? But the tragic reality is the truth for most of us as Christians. We just can't do that. We have a myriad of things competing for our time. We often try to satisfy by pursuing other interests that we think are going to be substance for us. We pursue knowledge, personal interests, but we're always left panting and dissatisfied. To satisfy their cravings, they will turn to culture. They will turn to music and other literary forms to try to find fulfillment. And often sheep are the most jaded and unfulfilled when they do that. And I'm speaking from us as being a sheep, turning to everything else but the right things. As both a sheep and a shepherd, I have done this myself. I've been both ways in the matter. I've done what I have supposed to do, and I have done what I am not supposed to do. And I can tell you that when I drink from the right well, when I drink from the well of God, it's so much better in my life. And when I'm drinking from the well of the world, it's not a pretty thing. Jeremiah, 2nd chapter, verse 13. Let me read this to you because it's very pointed to our subject matter tonight. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he says this: "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountains of living water, and they hewed themselves cisterns broken down that can hold no water. Now, did you hear that? People will make their own water source or to try to hold their own water. It's such a compelling picture. It's an accurate portrait of lives that are shattered. They're broken. The hopes are gone. They're barren in their soul. They're hewed out for themselves waterns that have no cistern, or cisterns that have no water, and they're just full of dust from despair. What has our culture done? What has so many people in Christianity done? Well, they've turned to drugs. You know, instead of utilizing God's word, falling back on Him, turn to drugs. Well, Christians turn to alcohol, whether we want to face the reality of that or not. Christians turn to sexual ventures. They go mad in the desire to be fulfilled. And a sheep can look anything but a sheep when it gets into that state. But here's what we need to know. Amidst the chaos and the confusion, Christ still comes. He invites us to come to Him. He invites us to follow Him, for He knows what's best. He knows how to satisfy. He knows the human heart. He knows the human personality. He knows the human soul, and it has an amazing capacity for God and can never be satisfied with any substitute. Only the Spirit and the life Christ Himself gives can fill the thirsty soul. Give us this water. Give me this water that I might drink and never thirst again. She was thinking in so many, not spiritual terms, but physical terms. And He said, listen, it's not what I'm talking about. See, the deep wells of God are not always where we might, what we might call a delightful experience. I know that. There's been some things in my life that the Lord has forced me into, not willingly, but by constraint. Many places where He leads will appear dark. They will appear dangerous. But we're called to serve. We're called to follow Him. We're in His kingdom. He knows where it's best for us to be. For any of us to be called to a place that's unfamiliar, it's always a challenge. Here's where you're going to find substance. Here's where you're going to find the water that you need to drink. But it's in these challenging situations that we can discover the special care, the special attention that the shepherd will give to us in those circumstances. So not every place that He calls us to drink is the most pleasant, the most wonderful, pristine, calm place it can be, because we don't want to go there. But once we get there, we find, okay, Lord, this is what You had for me. There's always sheep who refuse to follow. Always have been, and they always will be. There'll always be a group who will refuse to follow, to allow God to lead them. Just in David's day, he had sheep that just absolutely wanted to do their own thing. They insist on running their own lives, to follow their own wills. They insist they can be masters of their own destiny, even if those destinies are destructive. Well, isn't it sad when someone just gets bent on doing it their way? You know, one of the worst songs that ever were, really, regardless whatever you think of Frank Sinatra, you know, people, I've had a couple funerals where people wanted to do that song. I did it my way. And it's so silly. Go ahead and do it your way. See what it gets you. It's better to do it God's way. And there are people that insist on running and doing it their way, and it gets them nowhere. They don't want to be led by Him. They don't want to be directed by Him. They want to walk in their own ways, and they want to drink from their own water sources, and they want to satisfy their own selfish whims. And that's sad. It's sad. We need to offset these by guarding against them in our life. Because I can honestly say we all can be guilty of wanting to do it our way. Especially when it comes to, Lord, you want me to go where? Lord, you want me to do what? Lord, you're wanting me to face this situation? See, God invites us to be led and to be guided by His own gracious Spirit. This is much of the teaching of the Apostle Paul in his epistles. Following God's lead, being led of God. Jesus in his own teaching before his death in John, the 14th chapter, or 14th chapter, the 17th chapter, shows how the Holy Spirit comes into our life, and He's another comforter. He's one just like the Savior. In fact, it means identical, one just like me. He's the one that comes into our life. He guides us, He guards us, He leads us beside the still waters. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 42nd Psalm, verses 1 through 3. And Brian, go ahead and put that picture on the screen, please. A few years back, that's upside down. Can you rotate it for us? I looked at it the right way this morning when I sent it to you. Well, anyway, as he's getting that straightened out, that is a spring in the Golan Heights in Israel. And Brenda and I were privileged to be there a few years back. It is at this spring, and it's such a beautiful area. You can see, you sort of tilt your head. Okay. You see the waters coming down. You know, water there is just so pristine, so beautiful. And when you come out from that area, it's in the Golan Heights area. There's a lot of destruction. There's old war equipment that's been decapitated. It's just there, just laying amiss and stuff. There we go. But what a beautiful scene. It is, scholars feel that it is, this is the area where David wrote this psalm. Let's read it. As the deer pants for the watered brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? David wrote that psalm probably from right there, what you're looking at on the screen. And it was just a wonderful, beautiful area. So tonight, in closing, let me ask you, where are you drinking from? What's your water source? Are you spending time in this word like you ought to be? Because if you're not, my friend, you're doing yourself a disservice. You're not going to be the healthy, you're not going to be the happy Christian. And I'm not talking about you're going to be cancer-free, you're not going to have physical problems. No, I'm talking about spiritually. When we are spiritually fit, we can deal with the physical problems that we're going to have. And believe me, when Paul wrote that the body moans and groans and trembles and shakes, you know, that's sort of a little bit of a paraphrase there, he knew what he was talking about. As we get older, we groan for the release from this prison that we're in. Now, the Apostle Paul was talking about that. When we are spiritually fit, when we allow Him to lead us beside the still water, we're so much healthier, so much happier spiritually, and the world knows it. Would you stand with me? Let's bow for prayer. Father, again, we thank you that you lead us beside the still waters. And Lord, I pray that my water source is going to be the proper one, the good one. And Father, that I will seek you early, and that your word will continue to be that lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. That the situations that I face on a daily basis will be faced with someone who is ready to face them because he's prepared in the Word. And I know that within this congregation, Father, that there can be those who are just like me. We can become so busy in doing and thinking the right things, and we look at me, I've got this accomplished for the Lord, I did this for the Lord, that we lose that close, intimate, personal relationship. Not that we lose our salvation, Father, you never reject us from there, but we certainly can lose the joy of our salvation because we have went our own way and done our own thing and not relied on you. And I pray, Father, that we will turn from that. If we're there, we'll leave it immediately. If we're starting to head there, that we'll make adjustments in our life that will allow us to be closer to you. I pray for that, Father. I pray for that for myself. I pray for that for these people that are here, that are your people, that are your church. We ask, Lord, that you would lead and guide during this invitation time, and we ask, Father, that you'll do this in Christ's name. Amen.